Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
We're into Proverbs 31, verse 24. We're talking about this beautiful woman, the virtuous woman, otherwise translated the woman of force, a powerful woman. And obviously, this easily applies to the church, to Jesus's church, the bride of Christ. Verse 24 says, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Linen garments throughout Scripture are symbolic of robes of righteousness, which can only be given to us by God. And that righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus. And so we bring these linen garments to people who come into the house of God. We shouldn't judge people for being unrighteous. We've got an answer whereby if they come to Christ, he will clothe them with his righteousness. And it says she sells them. All right, that doesn't mean we sell salvation. It just means there is a price for people to pay to let go of an old life and to embrace the new one, to discard the clothing of death and to embrace the new clothing of life. There is a legend, maybe it's more legend than historically true, but it graphically illustrates what the New Testament presents as us putting off the old life. It said that when a Roman person was accused of murder, they could find that their punishment was to carry the corpse of the dead person chained to their back until the corruption in the flesh of the dead, the decaying corpse, actually ate into the flesh of the person who was left alive. And as part of their punishment was a torturous death by letting the old eat into the new. And this is really important that we do not allow that to happen in our spiritual life, but that we cast off the old nature. Otherwise, it will eat through into the new life and destroy it. And that can mean letting go of old relationships, friends, old practices, some of the things that we were involved with before. I've known people who will throw out Ouija boards, get rid of books and music, records and pictures on walls, things that just tied them to their past. When I got born again, we actually got rid of a lot of our clothes as well. We were hippies. We were involved in all sorts of alternative experiences and mind-bending, mind-loosing, drug-taking days. And then finally we met Jesus. We felt like we really needed to make a clean break from all of that. So we got rid of all the music, got rid of all the clothes that associated ourselves with that. I cut my hair, and it was a pretty radical breach with the past. But we found that most people did that. They actually got into a whole new way of living. In the New Testament, they actually gave some of the believers new names. So they became so entirely born again, new creations in Christ Jesus. The Bible says nothing of the old comes into the new. So the church should be prepared to require, if you like, that as people come to Christ, that they know that there is a price to pay. Not that we should walk around as the clothing police or the trying to judge people on the things that they are coming out of, because it can take some time. But we can help them, as they did with Lazarus, unwrap the death clothes from off him, the grave clothes from off him. That's what we're to do. Jesus told them, take his grave clothes off him. And as we come into new life, there may be some things that we just have to unwrap ourselves from. And it's important that we do so that we don't get dragged back into the life that we once had. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Well, strength should clothe the church, not weakness. It always disappoints me when the church is presented in media and movies or television as weak, as severe, as wimpy, as withdrawn, as timid or intimidated, irrelevant. All these things that sometimes the church has actually been, much to the dismay of God in heaven. But here is, this proverb is saying the wife of Jesus is strong, and she is not a weak wife. She is not a weak woman. She's not a weak body. Honor are her clothing. And so honor comes to what is honorable. And I believe that as the church acts honorably, she will be honored. Respect isn't something that is just given, it's earned. And as we, the church, walk tall, walk strong, we're going to find ourselves respected by the communities that we live in rather than despised. It says she shall rejoice in time to come. Well, that's the New King James Version. There are other versions that say she smiles at the future. How beautiful is that phrase? To be able to look into the future and not furrow your brow or grimace or groan or complain, but actually to smile about tomorrow, the next day, next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. To have a vision of the future creates a smile in the present. When we can see what God is going to do up ahead of us, we will be smiling in the present, because that is how God wants the church to be. Not only a bright light in the world we live in, but a bright light that shows the future, that creates a pathway into a better day for the people that are part of the church. I think it's a good thing to just practice the art of smiling. It changes your attitude, changes your perspective. Who would think that just smiling for no reason at all, other than that you know God, Christ is in your life, that God is for you? And instead of staying in that worried look, in that depressed brow beating look, just smile. Make yourself smile. You'd be surprised at what doing something physical can do for your soul. We sometimes think that the only way that our body becomes animated is if we're feeling something in our soul. Well, that's one way. But there are days when actually it can be the reverse. We do something physically and find ourselves changed on the inside. The Bible says the merry heart has a continual feast. It also says a merry heart will do you good like a medicine, which would mean that a sad heart is going to do the opposite. It'll breed sickness through us. So the point of joy is health. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our health. It's our well-being. And so if we can summon up the joy of the Lord that is in us, and it's there in every believer, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water that I give, it will become in him a fountain of life. So the water that we drink when we receive Christ, a fountain is born inside of us, bubbling up with joy. And so never think that joy is lightweight. Never underestimate the power of being a joyful person. Never underestimate the power of smiling, of brightening the eyes, of being the light in everybody's world. We haven't been sent to frown on the world around us. We've been sent to bring God's smile, to bring his love to other people. And I believe our smile can bring favor on people and reveal to them how good God is. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The church, when she speaks, is speaking wisely and kindly. And I love that. On her tongue is the law of kindness. It's a principle that guides the content and the tone and the structure and the length of the messages that come out of her mouth. This is the church. Some people, just never stop talking. That's not kind. Some people have got just harsh words to say for anything that anybody else says, or else they're negative. They disagree with everybody. They're cantankerous rather than being encouraging and loving and gracious. And we are called to speak with wisdom, which means we don't have to say everything that we think of or to say everything that we know. I mean, sometimes church seems intent on winning the arguments that are against the world. But we haven't been called to win arguments. We've been called to win people, to win souls. Better to lose an argument and win a soul than the opposite. And so I believe that if we are wise, we will preach the gospel of Jesus in a way that is acceptable and receivable. That doesn't mean we have to compromise it. Doesn't mean we have to make it anything else. It's simply to make sure that the methodology that we use, the packaging that we bring the gospel to people, is easier for them to actually receive than if we were preaching it in an old-fashioned way, in a harsh way, in a severe way. Our communications need to be wise, with honesty, with truth, but not blunt honesty. Being a believer doesn't justify hateful or condemning speech, but the law of kindness, God says, should be in our mouth. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. The church should be diligent to be aware of every area in the house of God, so that every area is looked after. Nothing's falling through cracks. So this takes diligence, because there are a lot of moving parts in the church, from the business and the finances of the church to the care of the people, provision of training, to bringing salvation to people outside the church, to follow up of newcomers. The Church of Jesus is not lazy, but hardworking, showing diligence. You know, it says that when Jesus looked at the harvest, he said, look, guys, I need you to pray for laborers, for workers. He didn't ask for them to pray for talented people, didn't ask them to pray for skilled or experienced people, didn't ask for people with qualifications or people who had a lot of power or wealthy people or anything. He just said, I want some workers. I need people who will go to work and actually invest in building the house of God. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. This is awesome. Okay, so the children of the church, the sons and daughters of the house, they rise up. Her children rise up. They rise up and they find that church life raises them to new levels, raises them higher than they were before, develops them, maximizes their potential, keeps them moving forward. And so they rise up. They're not crushed and they're not held back. They're not restricted. They're not dominated, but their lives are elevated. They rise and they're far better for having been in church. They speak well of the church. They call her blessed. They love church. They speak well of it. They encourage people to be there in the house of God. And her husband praises her. This is awesome. Even Jesus praises the church that does well. That's obvious from the book of Revelation, where he congratulates some of the churches and he praises them in areas where they've done well. And you find that Paul, he does it extensively. He in great gushing words sometimes just talks about how great the people of God are, their churches are. And so praise from the Lord for the church should be a goal of all our churches, to please him. That should be the highest goal of any believer, to please God, to make God smile by acting in faith and obedience, by being all he has called us to be. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. I mean, there are a lot of organizations in the world married to their benefactors, but the church should outshine everybody in all of her endeavors, in her influence, her example, her generosity, her nobility, and her shining, so that onlookers will say, wow, many organizations have done well in this world, but you, the church, exceeds all of them. And God's people are called to be those people who go the extra mile, who show forth grace where there's judgment, who show healing where there's sickness, who bring life where there's death. That's us. That's the church, the powerful church of Jesus Christ in this hour. And I'm praying with all my heart that all of us will get a new picture of the church, a new vision of the church from this devotion. Then we would understand that God has called us to be that woman of force, that woman whose value is far above any precious gems on this earth. The church, the beautiful organization that God has put together on earth, it exceeds far being just an organization. It's a living body, a living temple, an army of believers, a family of God, a nation of people who are called out to be that great body of Christ in the world today. Verse 30, the last verse in this, the second to last verse in this, charm is deceitful and beauty is surpassing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. So there may be a lot of other organizations that are more charming and more beautiful by the standards of the world. Charm is deceitful, beauty passing. But the people who respect God and fear God, they're going to end up being admired by the world. And they'll be honored and respected and blessed because of their love for God and what that brings out of their lives. Verse 31, the last verse, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. There is no doubt that any church that steps out and blesses the world around it will reap back into her world great blessing. The fruit of her hands will bring blessing to the house of God. Like any orchardist, like any farmer who does a good job of looking after their farm, they find themselves being blessed, eating the fruit of all what they've done. And let her own works praise her in the gates. We will find that the people that we touch, the lives that we transform, will bring glory to God, and they'll say, the church has helped me immensely. And they will praise. They will praise those people who have help them along, and the people of God who have been there in their company, have walked with them. Most of all, they'll praise the God of heaven and earth who made it all happen. Thanks very much for being with me in this devotion about the church. I pray that it'll help us all love the church and love the Lord.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.